Welcome back, everybody. Today, I have a very special guest. We have the internet's favorite pickle connoisseur and Rila Kuma collector.
Oh my God, that is so true.
Jenny Belly.
Hello, I'm Jenny. Nice to meet you guys.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm like nervous, excited.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. It'll dissipate soon, yes. I'm sure.
Yeah, I definitely feel kind of like, but I'm sure it'll be fine after.
I just have to ask you a really deep question about your childhood trauma just to get it all out of the way.
You know, get the hard stuff out so yeah. The rest of the podcast is a breeze.
Then
I love
it's
that.
All just fun.
Okay,
and
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, no, I have a pretty chill, easy question for you for the beginning.
Okay, cool.
You started as a financial analyst.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Before you were a cosplayer.
I sure
right?
was.
So what made you decide that it was time to go full time into cosplay?
So I've been cosplaying for longer than I've been like a financial analyst. I've been cosplaying since I was like in high school because I used to live in LA and Anime Expo is here. And then I had a friend who like volunteered at Anime Expo, like just like a volunteer person. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you should come volunteer at this convention with me. And I was like, what's a convention? What are you talking about? But it's like during summer vacation. So we went and I was like, wow, you know, uh-huh. Like first convention, so many people, everyone's dressed up. It's so cool. So I started cosplaying the year after that. I was like, I want to get in on this. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing it for fun, like, since then. And then went to college, cosplayed less, graduated, started working. But then as I started working, it's like, oh, you have more disposable income to finally, like, mm-hmm. do your hobbies again. Because mm-hmm. when you're, like, a broke college student, we can't really. It's expensive. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. So then I started cosplaying again, and I started like going to a lot more conventions and meeting a lot of people. And I don't know, I was very inspired by people who were like starting up their Patreons and like working with different companies. So as I was starting to do that and working at the same time, it was like an impossible. It's just impossible.
You can't do both.
You can't do both. So over the pandemic, I was like, oh, like. Work has gone down kind of so that I can focus on cosplay more.
Yeah.
So I was putting more energy and resources into my cosplay bucket. And then I was like, well, like, what if I just quit?
I could just
leave. What if I just quit? Maybe they won't miss me.
Yeah.
But it was kind of also awkward because I was like the only person in my position in the entire company. Like, it was just me.
You were necessary.
I was necessary.
And alone.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, there was no backup. Like, when I'm gone, there was no one else.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stressful.
Very, yeah. So, actually, Martin Wong was like, what if you just, like, took a year off work, and then if it, like, sucks, you can just reapply, and they'll take you back, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, better to try than not try. So
I love that advice.
Yeah, no, I was like, this is the most reason. Because everyone was like, just do it. Like, fucking go for
just
it.
Just go for it.
Just like
reach for the stars.
Yeah, and follow your dream.
Yeah.
And I'm like a realist. I'm like, I just couldn't just be like, okay, I'm like the type of person who has to like weigh the pros and cons. I have like a spreadsheet for everything. Like,
yeah. It's actually so rare in a sea of creatives
oh my
and
God.
Cosplayers.
Is there anyone else like me? Please,
I don't think so.
I need to know.
I think you are the most, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hyper-organized.
Yeah. You are so organized. And so even today when you were like, oh, I'm running late, the car company
oh my
is
God.
Taking so
yes.
long.
Yes, I had a car rental and it took me, so I had it slotted into my calendar for a 1 hour buffer of getting this car rental and it took me an hour and a half. So I was like 30 minutes behind on everything, so everything got pushed down 30 minutes. It was crazy.
And yeah. I even told Ryan, uh-huh. like, this is very out of character.
It's very out of character. No control over this car rental.
She's usually shows up with a whole shot list.
Yes,
call
I'm
it,
so
call
ready.
call, what is it? Call sheet. Mm-hmm. So organized. The most organized
Thanks.
Cosplayer.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Ever.
Yes.
So
you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Love
thank
it.
You. Thanks. But anyways, yeah, everyone was like, just do it. Just go for it. And I was like, that did not ease my worries. But then Martin was like, just give yourself a 1-year time limit. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, that makes sense. That's realistic. That's goal oriented. Mm-hmm. So if in this 1-year period I fail at this endeavor, I can go back to plan A, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I quit, and then I'm still doing this.
And you're doing it.
We're still doing it.
The year has passed.
The year has passed.
And you're still crushing it.
It's been, I think I quit in 2022. Uh-huh. So, oh my God, it's been like 3 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it worked out.
It worked out. Yeah, I'm like so much happier. I feel so much more fulfilled because like I think being a financial analyst – was it did like it I like problem solving, I like numbers, I like spreadsheets. So the job did fit me in that aspect, but it's very samey, not creative. It's not very, there's no like fun mm-hmm. in that kind of job mm-hmm. in that kind of environment. So
yeah.
You know, cosplaying, people can cosplay in so many different ways, and then doing it my way, it's still fulfilling to me, and like I can still get joy from it. So, mm-hmm. and it fixes like it hits all those like problem solving, like analytics, just you know, organizing things and planning. Yeah, I love all that.
Yeah, yeah. I think we need people like you to herd the rest of us.
I was thinking like if I ever quit being a content creator, I would be like, I would kill it as like
you
a
would
manager.
Crush I would being kill a manager.
It. Yeah, I would be so on top
oh
of it.
Oh my God.
Because like literally I have friends who are like, can you just like remind me to like do something? Like when we're traveling together, like this past Vegas trip, my friend Tracy was with me, and I literally had like, okay, on this day we're doing these 3 videos. On this day we're doing this photo shoot. Like I had like a whole itinerary for content creation planned out.
Incredible.
And she was just like, I'm just here. I'm following your schedule. Yeah. Like I got, okay, mm-hmm. you already have all this planned out. So I'm just here for the ride.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
It's the emotional work that I feel like a lot of us wish we could do. I feel like I fall somewhere in the middle between mm-hmm. type A, type B, mm-hmm. where I want to, like, when I am really organized with
like
a spreadsheet,
you're on top of it.
I love it. I feel amazing. Yeah. I feel unstoppable, powerful.
Right. Yeah. That's how I feel.
Yeah. But then I also am so forgetful. With yeah. and also very time blind with the ADHD
yeah.
the type that I have, so I then end up being super late because of something that I like, forgot about.
You just like go on a side
and I
tour.
Can't yeah. use it. I can't use the spreadsheet anymore.
No, it's completely useless.
Yeah. yeah. And so I aspire to be more like you.
Yeah.
It's when I feel the most calm and in control.
Yeah, because you see like the plan, like
yeah.
you see everything falling into place perfectly mm-hmm. and you're like, I have no concerns because all the concerns have already been accounted for.
Yeah.
So everything is just like falling into place. But I am the type of person, if like things do not, like if something sways a little bit out of my plan, I do get kind of panicky.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I'm aware of that now. So I try to be like, oh, if like something happens or if someone's late, I kind of like go with the punches. But it's been really hard to like learn to do that, especially since cosplay is like a group activity at times.
Yeah.
So you have to accommodate like other people's like mannerisms and such. You can't like always do things your way. So it's been kind of like a push and pull of me like learning how to adjust to other people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I feel like the cosplay community is chronically late.
I know. There's so many memes yeah. about like, oh, cosplay girls. Expect them 1 hour later.
Yeah. yeah. Chronically late. I think we're all mentally ill in the yeah. same way.
I have never met someone without something going on.
Honestly.
It's like so funny.
It's so true. It's so true. And
my entire life, I don't think I've met like a normal person, because like my high school was for like gifted students.
Mm.
So it was like everyone had something. And then that just continued to like my friend group. And
yeah.
it was like when I did like encounter like normal people in like my office job, but I was like, I was so weirded out by
neurotypicals.
Yeah, I was like,
ugh, weird.
Why are you doing this? Like, I don't understand. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Because I was just so always surrounded, my entire life surrounded by
mm-hmm.
like, what's the word?
Neurodivergent.
Neurodivergent people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when I like had my first like big girl job with like normal people in like Texas of all places, like it was very
Yeah.
It was weird. It was super weird. But, you know, now I'm here. That's why I left the job. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I have here, you tell me, mm-hmm. that you made your friends through an Anime Yahoo chat group, and that's how you got introduced to cosplay?
Oh my god, yes. That was like, dang, that was so long ago. So I had this, so I mentioned before that I was in this like gifted program. It ran from elementary school all the way through high school, like this mm-hmm. one program. So like I've known these same people for like that entire period. It's mm-hmm. just the same people going from this school to this school to this school. And it was kind of difficult for me to make friends there, mm-hmm. but I started, the internet was a thing, and there was like, you know, chat groups, like Yahoo yeah. groups, like AOL groups and stuff. And I, at the time, I was like super into Inuyasha. So I found an Inuyasha chat group mm-hmm. and I was like on there like all the time because I was like, oh, I found friends. Like I found people who like things that I like. So there was this one girl who I all like became friends with. Her name was Akina. Like her username was Akina. Mm-hmm. And we like chat like all night long. We would just like chit chat all night long about like things, all the different animes we were watching. Like Yu Yu Hakusho was coming out that time too. So we were just talking. We were like passing fanfics to each other.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then like a few, I don't know how long it was into our relationship, our online relationship, but we're like, where do you live? You
know? Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm in Los Angeles. And she's like, I'm in Simi Valley, which is not very far.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And she was a year younger than me. So, you know, you maybe shouldn't like meet strangers on the internet. I don't know. But like we were both in like I don't know if it was like middle school or high school, but we were very young, and our parents like set up it was really awkward to explain. Aww. Like there's this girl on, my mom barely knew what the internet was. Okay, you know. Okay. So I was like, there's this girl who lives like 30 minutes, can we like hang out?
That's so crazy that she was that close.
I know,
of all of the places.
It's like it wasn't like a local geographic Yahoo chat, it was just like the world. Like there were people wow. from all over in that chat group. Uh-huh. But I guess because we were the same age,
yeah,
like we must have connected and like been in the same area, but like I don't know, but she was like my first like best friend.
Aww.
Yeah, I still kind of talk to her. She works at Discord now, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. But she and I literally like every weekend we would have sleepovers. Like I would be at her house like all the time.
So cool.
Yeah, so she was like my first like anime friend. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe that was so long ago.
And did that lead to cosplay? Did you guys cosplay together?
Yeah. Oh, we've never cosplayed. She's never cosplayed, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, she's like, she, this is so funny. She recently messaged me. She's like, I can't believe you're like following your dreams. That's so cool. And I was like, aww. Oh my God. Like, it was like, we haven't talked for a real long time. We like kind of lost touch, but then we found each other on Instagram and we were like messaging. She sent me this like really lovely, like she's always been a really lovely person, but she's still a very lovely person. She sent me this like huge like letter. Aww. Like this really heartfelt letter saying like, well, she's like, she's white and she's come from a white family and Simi Valley is not very diverse, I would say. So she was just like, I really just want to say like, when I was young, I'm really thankful to you and your mom for like inviting me into your home and like teaching me about other cultures. And like, I feel like I just grew as a better person knowing you having you in my life.
Aww.
And it's like really cool to see you following your dreams. I like follow your socials and it's like so cool to see all the adventures you're on. I'm like, oh my God, can we like meet up again, please? Like,
that's so yeah. sweet.
Yeah. So yeah, she's been like she was my first friend. Like Aww. It's, yes, I love her. But yeah, I can't that's believe so we nice. Met in a Yahoo of all places.
Wild.
I know.
Wild.
What the hell?
The internet used for good.
I know. I would never recommend that like now. Like I'd be like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you're just like a teenager just meeting up with a stranger online all by yourself. That's kind of crazy.
It is crazy, yeah. But it sounds like you guys, your parents talked.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, they did not talk to each other. I just told my mom like, hey, there's this girl who lives in Simi Valley. Can we go to her house?
Oh, shit.
And meet up?
Well, yeah, your parents took you there.
My mom
at
took
least,
me there. She
at
did.
Least, yeah.
She did. Like, so we went to her house, and then her mom met me. Her parents met me for the first time, and they were like, oh, she's just a little girl. Like, yeah.
yeah.
And my mom's like, this no. is also just a little girl. No creepy
weirdos.
No weirdos
here.
Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, she was like, she's also the first person like who introduced me to like video game consoles. Like she had a Game Boy Advance mm-hmm. and like all that stuff. So I was like, I get to play video games at your house. Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
So you think, was anime then sort of the first nerd culture thing that you were
yeah,
obsessed with?
I think so. Because when I was like even younger than that, I watched Sailor Moon like religiously. I would draw Sailor Moon. Like I would have like my Barbie dolls would be Sailor Moon. Like they would just reenact Sailor Moon scenes, you know? So Sailor Moon was like my first love. and like introduction to anime, and then, you know, like more shows were showing up on like TV and stuff like that. So then I started watching more from there, and then like going to Anime Expo, and then going to, I've been to like every Anime Expo since. So I've just been like, oh no, I didn't go this year. But like before this year, I've been to every Anime Expo since then. So I've just like always had that like sense of community.
That's more than 10 years.
I know.
Wow.
It's crazy. I can't believe I missed last year, but I was hired for another convention. So I was like,
you gotta get the bag, I know. Jenny. You gotta get the bag.
I feel like being a professional cosplayer now is like so freeing, but also so restrictive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, like, well, you have to cosplay this character because we said so.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Are you happy that you got to do this as a job now? Or do you mm-hmm. feel sometimes that you wish you could just go to a con and have fun? Or do you still feel like you can do that?
I think at this stage, I'm very passionate about doing this professionally. I take a lot of pride in it. I'm like, every time a con wants to bring me, I'm like, really? Like, it's still exciting. It's not like of course you do. Like, I never take it for granted, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm always like, oh my God, me? Really? So I'm still very excited about it. So I get more excited working for a convention than like just going for fun. But I think definitely very different vibes, you know? Yeah, like when you're going for fun, you get to like take your time. You have to wake up early. You can like, you know, do whatever you want, hang out with your friends, like eat a proper meal. Otherwise, you're just kind of like at your booth the entire time, like interacting with like fans and stuff. But like, it's just so very different. But at this point, I'm like still so grateful to be able to be doing it like as a job that I like lean more this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm curious. So you get hired sometimes for companies to have a cosplayer dress up as like their game character
right,
and take pictures with people at the booth. You also get hired as a cosplay guest where you have your own table.
Yeah, those are very different.
And then there's many ways of cosplayers to make money and
I feel like at the end of the tax year, it's always like you have to pull
from
like hundreds of different, like it's not just one, like if you have a salary, you just have one thing,
you
have one paper,
put it in,
and then versus like, oh, I have to like have the stack of papers,
what all did I do
one
this
at a time
year, actually, I don't even remember anymore.
You have to keep track of all that.
So what then, so if you get contacted by a company, what is your favorite job to get? Is it cosplaying an event as one of their characters? Is it boothing at a con as representing
like
you
yourself,
as
like a
brand, or do you prefer getting hired to just make content on like Instagram?
I think the first one is the most exciting because like even if people don't come to see, like for example, I work with Azure Lane, and I'm not, to be 100% honest, I'm not 100% like, I don't know, I don't play the game. Mm-hmm. I'm not very familiar with the characters. But I love the kind of like acting element, the interaction element, because when they come to see me, they're like, oh, it's me. But the reason I like cosplay so much is because I get to be a different person. Mm-hmm. So being able to cosplay as a different character, like I did this one, this was so much fun. It was for Genshin Impact. And there's a character called Catherine, and she owns the guild, right? She's the guild person, and she like gives you quests in the game. So they asked me to cosplay as Catherine.
Amazing.
And then play like mini games with the attendees to give out prizes.
Oh, so
I love
fun.
That. That was so fun. Yeah, I love any kind of like interaction like that where I get to like be the character and I get to interact with the audience as their character. Mm-hmm. Like that is more, I think, more interesting and more fun than just like being myself.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like them all for different reasons. I can never choose.
So,
I'm always curious what people like.
Yeah. Because just
prefer to do.
Cosplaying professionally, there's so many different aspects to the job. So it's like, there's no one set path for a person to take to get into this job. It's just so many different options. Yeah.
How did you get into cosplaying for brands and companies like that?
I don't know how I got it at this point in time, but I do remember my very first time I ever did it was like, so the first year I went to AX, I was as a volunteer. And then the second year, I was like, oh, I'm going to try cosplaying. So I cosplayed for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then the year after that, there was a forum called like AC Cosplay Paradise.
I know what you're talking about and I don't remember.
It's a combination of those words. Cosplay and Paradise. They were all like in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But there was a forum and there was a person looking for Gurren Lagann cosplayers for the Anime Expo booth the next year. Mm-hmm. And I had my first cosplay ever was Yoko from Gurren Lagann. Ah. And I was like, I already have a Yoko cosplay from Gurren Lagann. And they're like, perfect. Would you like to, like, the voice actor is coming from Japan and he's doing autographings and we just need cosplayers in the background for photo ops. I was like, I don't know what any of that means, but okay, sure. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I know. I can't believe that was like my first like thing that I did.
You were thrown right into the deep end.
It was just like, here you go. And then back then it was like, you know, there's no contracts, there's no rules.
Yeah,
it's just like
the Wild West.
I know. They're like, here's a free badge.
Yeah.
And here's a signed copy of like the anime, like they gave me DVDs.
Yeah.
Like, here's some merch. Okay, have fun. Like, I was like, okay, I'm just excited to be here, I guess. Like, I didn't know. I'd had nothing to compare to. But it was so much fun seeing people be like, oh my God, it's Yoko, and like taking pictures with me and like saying lines from the show and like interacting with the audience as the character and stuff, like saying, and that was so much fun. I think that joy has just like always lived with me, and that's why I prefer it so much more than just doing like the meet and greets. Just like having that interaction is like so exciting. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Thanks.
And your mom helped you make Yoko, right?
Yeah. She Yoko actually I made by myself.
Oh, okay.
But my second cosplay was Asuka from Neon Genesis Evangelion. Uh-huh. So my mom used to be. She graduated with a design degree.
Okay.
And so she, like, she's done, like, a fashion show before, and she's made clothes. Like, she had, like, a whole sewing situation. So I learned from her, like, the basics of, like, sewing and, like, crafting. But then the Yoko gun I had found on a forum, people were, like, using cardboard and PVC pipes at the time. Like, there was no EVA for
that.
I had literally, for the nozzle of the gun, it was, like, hexagonal in shape. And I was like, a Gatorade bottle is hexagonal in shape. So I, like, cut a Gatorade bottle and used it as the nozzle. And then I, like, built everything out of PVC pipe and cardboard, like, spray painted everything by hand.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, again.
Again.
A Yoko gun for a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, thankfully, Yoko's cosplay was so easy. It's, like, shorts.
Yeah.
I got a black bikini top that I just, like, painted the flames on. Like, it was just, like, such a simple cosplay. And then when I did the Asuka, like, that was my second cosplay, like, I just could not find that dress, that yellow dress, her, like, sundress. And my mom was like, let's just make it. So she, like, taught me how to, like, pattern, kind of, and, like, put it together and stuff like that. So, like, I definitely learned.
Cute.
Yeah, I learned my sewing from her. I don't know. I would not know anything. I just, like, all the basics I learned from her. I didn't do, like, schooling. So everything else was, like, trial and error, you know? But, yeah, I'm, like, very grateful to her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For cosplayers who want to work with brands and go to cons and things like that, what is your advice? What would you say to prep somebody who is doing that for the first time?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know how I got here. So it's so hard to answer that question. I think being very sociable, maybe like, I don't know, is it like bad etiquette to like go to a booth and be like, hi, can I just like talk to your marketing manager? Like,
no,
maybe.
I don't think that's bad
fine,
etiquette
right?
at all.
Yeah, maybe like just brand yourself, right? Like, don't be afraid to just start talking to people when you see them at conventions and start networking. I think so much of how I got here is networking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just like the
Me
people
too.
That I've met. Yeah, it's just like it's impossible to do it all. It's you can't survive as an island.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just like, just everyone that I have talked to, like, all my years of, like, being in this industry, just, like, definitely it's like, oh, I heard you, someone needs something here. Like, hey, are you available? Like, people just, like, help each other, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
I love. I feel like I've heard so many horror stories in, like, other environments where they're just, like, very competitive and, like, you know, closed-doored and, like, not willing to lend a hand. But I feel like, I don't know, or at least my corner of the cosplay community has always been very, like, hey, like, what do you need? Like, I got you. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for that, too.
Yeah, same.
So many things to be grateful for. Yeah.
I think we're in the same corner of
the
cosplay.
I'm happy here, like, with my little...
Me too. It's very... it's very team-oriented.
Yeah, I've never had an experience... Like, I'm very, like, very happy and thankful to say that I've never had an experience where I've ever, like, felt, like, backstabbed or, like, been involved in any kind of, like, drama or something. I just feel like everyone that I've met, I've always had a genuine like relationship or friendship with, I feel like if I had a disagreement with someone, I feel very comfortable like communicating things without things escalating into an argument. Like I feel just very fortunate that everyone is very level-headed.
Yeah, very healthy.
Incredibly healthy of you.
I feel like that's rare.
I think so. I think I've been very, very lucky that the people that I've attached myself to have been also equally communicative and like open and just like, I'm also that, I don't know, maybe this is just like a thing, but I feel like if I have something to say, I'm very bad at like holding it in. I have to say it. So if someone is like doing something that maybe like it's unintentional that they've upset me in some way, I'm just gonna be like, hey, I like know you didn't mean to do this, but can we like have this conversation about this thing that happened? And I'm like, I'm not mad at you. I just want you to be aware. Like, are you open for a conversation? Like, that's what I would say. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had to do that a couple times, but it's always ended really well. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like having that kind of like opener to like, instead of just being like, hey, we need to talk, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like having like a gentle opener.
Spike like everybody's cortisol level right off the bat.
I know. It's like, yeah. Yeah, I feel it's like really a good way to get everyone kind of on the same page before you jump into this like thing that might be like kind of hurtful. Like it's like, hey, I'm coming with this like with an open heart, mm-hmm, and like an open mind. Like please be also reciprocating to me for that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very disarming way to start a conversation.
I think so. I think it's like very helpful to like, you know, just make sure that we're all on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. I feel like, again, I aspire to be like you in that way as well. Oh. Sometimes emotions get crazy. It's you know true. What I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
But that's really awesome of you that you've Thanks. Cultivated that
Thanks.
Community.
I feel
of
really awkward when people compliment me.
Yeah, yeah, so do I.
I'm like, well, how do I reply to that? I don't know what to say.
No, that's awesome. That is very healthy of you, and also very telling. I think treating people like that probably attracts people like that as well. Right?
I hope so. I hope I have put like good eggs in my basket. Like, I hope mm-hmm. I'm surrounding myself with people who are like-minded mm-hmm. and, like, aren't, you know, coming at me with, like, ulterior motives or whatever. Like, I think, I don't know. I think, I'm very, like, grateful for my friend group. Yeah. Like, everyone's so nice. Yeah. Yeah,
that's awesome. So, to piggyback on asking about if a cosplayer wanted to get involved with a brand, mm-hmm. how would they do it? If they – say they book the job.
Okay.
And it's their first job they've ever done with a brand.
Yeah.
What tips would you give them before they do their big job for the first time?
Like representing a character? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I think I always try to research a little bit about – like, for example, with Azur Lane, like, even if I don't really know the character – too familiarly, I still try to do the research so that I can properly like reenact that character. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of also, I don't know, I feel like I am good at talking with strangers, and you really need that skill in a job like that. Like you can't, like I hate to say it, but I've seen some cosplayers who were hired for the first time and they're not very like extroverted, yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so like they don't speak unless spoken to kind of situation. Mm. Like but versus like I try to be like the whole point of our job is to like liven the atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
Like we are like making sure that everyone who comes through the booth is like having a great time. It's kind of like a service job. So you want to go out there and you want to talk to people. It's like, hey, like, how are you doing today? Like, if there's a prize going on, it's like, hey, did you hear about this raffle? Like, you should hear about, you know, mm-hmm. I always lose my voice at the end of these jobs because I just talk. I'm like, I just keep talking from the beginning of the job to the end of the job. Every person that I see, I like talk to. Mm-hmm. So I think having that kind of like talkative, outgoing personality definitely like enlivens you to the marketing people. Just like, oh, that person, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like they are very energetic. They're like brightening the booth, kind of just, you know, making sure all the people are happy to be there, because mm-hmm. that's all they want. They just want people to have a a good positive impression
yeah.
of the booth.
And then you get hired back exactly. over and over again.
They're like, oh, I remember you. You were great. Like, let's bring her back. Yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
I think, yeah, making that good first impression and making sure you're just like doing everything you can to like make represent the company the best way, best light possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the cosplay community and the jobs, I feel, are – the world is smaller than people realize, too.
Oh, it's so true.
So doing a bad job one time can
yes.
get around.
Oh, my God. That has happened. I hate to say it, but, like I don't know. It was – I forgot what convention it was, but something happened, and, like, I heard about it within the hour. And it was not even my booth. It was not even my booth. I was, like, working, like, 10 booths away, mm-hmm. and it somehow got there. Like, they just – people just talk –
yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate, but you just really want to like have, you know, be on your best behavior. Don't be rude. Just follow. If they ask you to do something, like do your best to accommodate them because they're that's what they're hiring you to do. And
yeah.
don't be like, I don't know. I guess just people are like really complaining because the job is hard.
It is
really hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. Like I've had call times that were like 6 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Which means I had to wake up at 4 a.m. to get ready.
That's great.
Yeah, because like it's like VIP comes in at 8, right? But
yeah.
they want you an hour early for photo ops and stuff yeah. before the booth gets busy.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, just come in super early. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just do that. Okay. For sure.
Sure, I'll do that.
I'll just do that.
But yeah. it's kind of like as much as you want to complain, it's probably not in your best interest to do so.
Yeah,
like
you gotta
loudly.
That's yeah. save that for the group
safe,
chat
in a safe space.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I feel like if the person is seeing you like huff and roll your eyes, that's probably not.
Oh my God,
not a good sign. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Definitely not. Yeah. Definitely mm-hmm. not. And I think that speaks to your longevity in the space too, mm-hmm. being professional.
Oh yes,
sure
always be professional. Like
is having a good time.
Yes. And, I've seen I think some things happen sometimes with like baby cosplayers or like first time workers. They're just like, oh, this is just for fun. Like we're just here for fun. I'm like in my head, I'm like, no, I'm here to work. Like this
yeah,
is a job.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm go, go, go. I've had like photo shoots where it's like a group cosplay and then like one person in the group is not like taking it as seriously as everyone else in the group.
Yeah.
And that really like hurts the productivity. And again, yeah. I'm a goal-oriented person. So
yeah,
I'm
yeah, just yeah.
like, I need everyone to be on the same page.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, no. Yeah.
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 Because it's respectful of everybody's
time. It is. I totally agree. Like, yeah. if you're here just to, like, mess around and, like, drink alcohol during the photo shoot, I'm like, oh, no, we're here. This is a job for me. Like, I'm, you know, spending my time and resources to be here. So,
yeah, yeah.
yeah I take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. It makes complete and perfect sense to mm-hmm, me. Mm-hmm. I think that there are times for different situations.
There is.
Like,
oh, yeah. Time. There's this thing in Korea called TPO, time, place, occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everything. Like, if someone's doing something, be like, hey, mind your TPO. Like, mm-hmm. mind the time, mind the place, mind the occasion.
I love
so
that.
So I keep that in mind all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I love that a lot.
Thanks.
So when you have booths at conventions before mm-hmm. as yourself, like mm-hmm. you're
like
there.
Like meet and greet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. As you with a cosplay booth, you have merch to sell.
I do.
And you're wearing costumes. You're taking pictures of mm-hmm. people. Do you do panels as well?
I have done a couple. I've done a panel about how to do your own cosplay photography because I've done my own cosplay photographer for a while. And people are always surprised that I'm like, taking and editing all my pictures on my like literally my phone.
Hey, but you have a Samsung, right?
I do.
Samsung, Samsung girlies.
The amount of
the
people.
Only two.
I know. I've converted so many people.
Really?
Like, yeah. I think it was Stella because she was an iPhone girl.
Spread the gospel.
Yes, and I was using it, and I was using the stylus to edit. She's like, "What is that?" And I was like, "It's the Ultra. It has a thing, so you can like do the thing." And she's like, "She on Am immediately bought it." I was
yeah.
like, "Mm-hmm." Another one, iPhone or down.
Another one down.
Bites the dust.
Between the two of us.
I know.
We can do this.
I'm going to convert everyone to Android.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every now and then, somebody will have an Android phone, and I'm like, we can quick share.
Yes.
I can never quick
yes,
share
I can't.
My pictures
Oh, my God.
With
we don't need an Apple AirDrop or whatever the fuck it's called. Like, we
yeah,
don't
yeah.
need to do that. We have other things. We have technology that we've had longer than
yes.
the Apple people.
Yes.
And they're just living in a bubble. They're just stuck in their own little sphere and they just can't see
yes.
how much greener the other side of the world is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's on Apple
stubborn.
Marketing, in
yeah,
my opinion.
They're stubborn.
Yeah, I think that the Android phone takes incredible photos and videos.
Amazing. Yes. Actually, I just got the Huawei phone. That's a Chinese phone.
Uh-huh.
It's technically not allowed. So it's not banned, but it a certain president made it very difficult to have it be purchased because it's like Chinese made, Chinese manufactured, Chinese company.
Right.
So, you know, like China has really cool smart cars and smartphones. We just don't have access to any of that because of politics.
Right.
But while I was in Thailand, there was a Huawei booth. It's like a Samsung booth. It's like a, you know, it's a company. And I was like, what is that? So I went to go look at the camera. Is beyond this.
Really?
Beyond. I wish I brought it with me, but I left it back at my friend's house. I would love to show you. But like, it is like, even the front camera is as good as the back camera, and it has three wide angles in the front.
Shut up.
So lately, all of my photos have been not on this, but on the Huawei, and then I edited on this.
Wow.
It's amazing. And the crazy thing is the price. So I got the phone that was only released 4 months when I purchased it. It was released 4 months ago. You'll never guess how much that thing costs.
Okay, so whenever I buy a new phone, it's like at least $1,000, right? So
minimum, like $1,200 around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to guess.
So I bought this not online, just at the store, like in full price.
No discounts, no coupons.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess $500.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah. But you know what they threw in with the phone?
What?
They threw in a free Bluetooth speaker, a charge pack, a phone case, a screen protector, and a smartwatch.
That's another smartwatch?
Yes.
That's like another
$500. I know. And I was like, they were like, oh, let me pack. Like, I bought the phone. I was like, oh, sold. Like, this camera's amazing. And it's $500? Okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, wait a minute, we're going to package it for you. And I was like, okay. It took them like 20 minutes to package it. And I was like, what's going on? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come out and the bag is literally like this large. And I'm like, what it's the phone is this big. Why is the bag this large? And then he hands it to me. It's heavy. It's like digging, the string is like digging into my hand. I was like, what the fuck is in here? So when I leave the store, I open it and I just like find all these goodies. And then I went back, I was like, is there a mistake? Like, did you mean to give this to me?
Could never be America.
And I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh no, that just comes with the phone. It's all like Huawei branded stuff. It just all comes with the, I was like, wow, this is like what America's like. So like, that's what I figured when I travel, now that I'm traveling so much, I'm like, what is this place? Like, what is happening here? It's so crazy. It's crazy. It's
insane. Is crazy.
Yeah. Like, I cannot stress enough how insane it is.
Yeah.
Like, cause once you see it for yourself, you don't realize, you don't realize how like bad it is and like how much better it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I don't know, maybe I'm like looking at it through like rose-tinted glasses because I'm like in travel, fun, vacation mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like live there, so I don't know like the day-to-day.
Sure.
But like from what I've seen so far, I'm just like, there's just so many things that could be better. And I'm like really disappointed every time I come back to America.
I know.
It's crazy. It's
a little embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. It's so, like one time I was Kelly and I were in Malaysia and we were like in a cab and we're just like chit-chatting. She loves talking with strangers, by the way. Like traveling with Kelly is like always on a side quest. Like I'm like, okay, let's go here. And she's like, oh, let's go like to the store and talk to the store owner.
Your ultimate opposite.
Yeah, I know. We're like completely opposites. But yeah, we were talking to the cab driver and we were just like talking about like, oh, it's so amazing that we're in Malaysia. Everything's so like beautiful. It's so cool here. And there, he's like, where are you from? We're like, oh, from America. He's like, oh, I really want to visit. I'm like, No, you don't. You don't want to visit. It's crazy over there. Like, it's, you're not going to be treated nicely. No one's going to be kind to you. Like, everything's going to be super expensive.
Yeah.
Like, the food over there, it was like 60 cents for a boba. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. The cab that we were in, it was like a 15-minute cab ride. It was $2.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. Of course, the cost of living is much lower over there. But just, I was so sticker shocked by the pricing.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, you travel a lot. Especially
I wasn't
recently.
Expecting this. Yeah. Oh my God. I've never flown out of the country so much in 1 year. I think my Delta app recently like gave me a summary and there he was like, oh, you visited 19 cities this year. I'm like, 19? What are you talking
wild.
About?
Yeah. And you've been traveling so much to different countries as well, not even just around the US.
Yeah. That's wild.
Do you have like your top favorite places that you've visited?
Oh my God. Yes, actually. Shanghai is really high on the list because everything was so affordable. I think I'm not, this might be like, you need to fact check this, but I think the government has like a law that says like food and clothing has to be like reasonable priced. So like food and clothing there is like quite cheap, and it's like very low pricing compared to like other, like of course there could be like luxury dining experiences and luxury clothing, sure, but like basic food clothing, like it's affordable because it's a bare necessity, it's a bare necessity item. So mm-hmm. those are all affordable. Mm-hmm. So, and I was also in Shanghai. So it's like, that's kind of like a posh city. It's a very clean, very like upscale kind of. So maybe but it was so cool. Like people just cosplay there just for fun. Like they just,
oh, really?
They go to the mall and cosplay and just hang out.
That's so cute.
Like, you know how like people in Japan, like they dress in Lolita to hang out? It's just, it's like that, but in cosplay. Like there's a whole like Honkai Star Rail group. There was like 7 Honkai Star Rail characters just hanging out at the mall.
And it's not weird.
It's not weird.
Because I feel like people do that here every now and then, and everybody.
People get harassed. Like people get harassed. Yeah. No, they just like are riding the metro in cosplay, go hang out at the mall at their favorite cafe, go to dinner together, take photos. It's so cute. It's like, oh my God, we're all just, you know, we're dressing up in together. It's like a community thing. It's so fun. And so, like, on the weekends, like, yeah, kids will just dress up in cosplay to go hang out at the mall.
It's like playing video games. Yeah,
let's meet up at a cafe, but let's just all dress up also.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. And it was, like, it was just such a fun, vibrant city. Everything was very, like, technologically advanced. Everything you pay with your phone, like, no one carries cash. Everything was fast. Everything was, like, on time. Like, I didn't have any, like, Emmy ordered things to our hotel and it would come within the hour. We hired makeup artists. It was like $20 to hire a makeup artist, just because we're gonna go to Disneyland, and we're like, what if we just didn't do our own makeup, we just hired hair and makeup team, and they just came and they came to our hotel, did our hair and makeup, $20, and then she just like went home. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
And the photo studios in China were amazing. Like the only way to like really book one is through Xiaohongshu. So it's kind of like hard if you have like a language barrier. But thankfully, my friend Luca spoke Chinese and she was able to like book appointments for me because I don't speak any Mandarin. But it was like it was the most intense. Like there was a photographer, then there was a lighting director, then there was a pose director, then hair and makeup is all over there. Like it was a whole staff of people, and you just show up. And they tell you, like, they move, they, like a puppet, like, they just move you to, like, that perfect photo.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was just such a crazy experience. And they did 3 different looks in one day.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was not that expensive. I don't remember how much it was, but it was definitely under $400.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For 3 shoots. For 3 looks. Makeup and hair and
posing
and everything.
Yeah, and they give you the raws, and they edit 8 photos from each set.
Wow.
You could never. Oh, never, ever.
No.
No one likes to give you the raws here.
That's thousands of dollars.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
So cool.
And they have, they have hundreds of studios like that over there, and they all have different themes. So you can, like, any theme that you imagine, they can, like, come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very similar. Like, I think, for me, like Saigon and Shanghai are very similar because you can do that same services in Vietnam too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I think Shanghai is a little bit more like polished and Vietnam is a bit more, still a little grungy, still a little like has character. Mm-hmm. So, but they're very, the services they offer and like the experiences you can get there are very similar. Gotcha. So actually that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, we can get it all over there. Like, why can't we do that here?
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. It just costs $1 million.
I would just break my, I would have no more money at the end of the month.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you travel to these places and you do all of these experiences and you get all this food and,
God,
services
food
for cheaper.
So yeah.
Do you feel like you, in a way, are sort of saving money?
I do feel that because I think the most expensive thing is like the plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then the meals like are like $2 sometimes. Like it's literally like we went to this really amazing banh mi sandwich shop. It was like a banh. Mm-hmm. It was like this big. It literally, I was so full, I could only eat a fourth of it. Like, we had to share it with people. And that whole thing was like $3. And I'm like, oh man, okay, everyone just chip in $1. We're going to eat the sandwich together. Like,
uh-huh.
It's so crazy. And I feel like as a content creator, it's like, if going to these other countries and like experiencing other cultures and like being able to like film all that, it's like still technically a business expense. Mm-hmm. So it works out that I'm getting to do the fun creative things, but also like have fun and like it's like work and play at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I feel I get so annoyed when people are like, oh, going on vacation. I'm like, no, not really. Like I'm actually working.
Uh-huh.
I'm not, I haven't had a vacation.
I am kind of, but also not really.
No. Yeah. And I feel like genuinely I haven't had like a vacation, like an actual like no content, no work vacation in like since like college or something. Like I've ever since I started doing this, it's like everything has been something.
Yeah,
you know, like it's just part of my life, and that's just like how my brain operates. It's like, oh, I'm doing something, well I can also do something else with it. I can like multitask.
Make this as efficient as humanly possible.
I don't know if that's healthy, but like that's just how my brain operates. Mm-hmm. It's like if I'm like waiting for someone, I'm like doing something, you know, like I'm not like just sitting there. I actually am like anti like doom scrolling on TikTok. I only look at TikTok videos 3 days before I have to make content. Like if I'm going on a trip, I'll check TikTok 3 days before and see what the trends are. But otherwise, I like don't like to waste my time on there. So I'm like, I'm either editing photos, I'm taking photos, I'm like researching. Like I just do other things that are like not social media. I don't know. Is
that's
that terrible?
Again, very healthy of you. Sensing a theme here. Very, very healthy of you.
I wish I had more problems.
No, this is good. It's very inspirational.
I hope so.
When you're traveling to all of these places, you love
No, you're good.
You love spreadsheets, like you're talking about.
Oh my god.
How do you plan these trips?
Okay, so I always start with researching places that would be interesting to me, or like are like Instagrammy, or like things that are like highlights or things I cannot miss. So my like all those places, I get like I open a Google map and I just like start bookmarking like everything. So at the end of my research, I'll have like 100 bookmarks clustered on this map of the city that I'm going to.
Okay,
and then I look at what clusters are near each other. Like, oh, these four things are near each other, that'll be one day. These five, that's second day, 3 days, 4 days. And then I have to, but then I go a step further. So I have like a timetable. I have a timetable by the hour. So like 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., all the way down. And then I fill in blocks of time of how long I think it'll take for me to do each thing in a day. So like in these four clusters, this one's going to take me an hour. This one's taking me 30 minutes. This one's taking me 2 hours. And then, so that fills it out kind of, right? Mm-hmm. But then you have to also account travel time. So I Google how long it takes from get from point A to point B. I put that routing time and I put that in the spreadsheet too. So now we have the time I'm going to be there, the time it takes for me to go to location B, and then that, you know, it goes on. So that like plans out your day. And then it kind of automatically just, you know, just reapply those same theories the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So simple. Like, honestly, simple. It's so simple. It just requires a lot of like research and like time to like put all that together. But like putting it into practice is like simpler than it looks at the finished product. Because when you're looking at, I understand it looks very overwhelming. Like, oh my God, so many blocks of colors and numbers and everything everywhere. But like the process of getting there is very straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you find places that are interesting for you to check out? Like, are you just going to Google Maps and looking at everything around? Are you looking at TikTok?
I do look at TikTok, but I always double check TikTok because I feel that TikTok has a lot of like fake reviews or like pump it up. So I always, if I see something on TikTok, I will look it up on Google to see actual customer reviews. I definitely use Google. I actually use ChatGPT quite a lot. So on ChatGPT, I can be like, what's like four places I absolutely need to visit in Mexico City? And it'll spit that out. And then I can fact check that. Like, I always fact check everything. But I'm always like, is this worth my time? Because I just want to make sure it's worth my time. If I'm going there, what am I going to actually do there? What is there to see? Can I see myself? What kind of content can I see myself making there? Because if I'm going to go there, I'm probably going to make some content there. So I take that all into account and then I put it onto the map.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, a lot of just time.
Yeah. How long does that process take you normally?
So I usually make a rough draft of an itinerary, like around three to four hours. I'll make a rough draft. And then I'll just like slowly fine tune it until the day of the trip. Mm-hmm. Like if things need a reservation, like those are locked in. But if I am like scrolling and someone says like, hey, you should check this out, I'll like look at it and be like, oh yeah, maybe I can like squeeze this in here or like take this out. So I'll just like slowly keep fine-tuning it until the day of the trip. Like things could change up until like I leave. Yeah, I'm trying to be like more open to like different things because I'm always like, but I'm also very like, okay, I think a lot of people have this like FOMO mindset. Do you know, like it's like, okay, I think this is like the best restaurant, but what if there's a better restaurant?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like people are always like, oh no, like I shouldn't go here. Like what if there's something, they're constantly researching over longer and longer and longer, trying to find the best.
Yeah.
But I'm like, whatever experience you have, it's what you make of it. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not the best restaurant in the entire world, if it's like good, it's still good. Like this is, mm-hmm. I always say this to my chat, but I'm always like a person who never rerolls or mm-hmm. never save scums. Like when I play a video game, like for like Baldur's Gate, if I roll a one, I don't delete it and go back and replay from the previous save to reroll it. I'm just
you
like,
just let it
this
ride.
Is what I have, this was what my life has given me. Mm-hmm. This is what fate has, this is just my path. And I'm just going to keep rolling with it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I feel about like other things in my life. If something is like happening to me, I'm not like disappointed or I'm like, oh, it's not the best though. It's always like, you know, this is pretty good. Like I'm happy with this choice. I'm going to roll with it and keep going. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. That's just,
yeah,
I feel like that's a healthy outlook.
It is. It is.
I don't want to. Like,
you already know what I'm going to say.
I'm sorry.
How dare you be so put together?
I'm so well adjusted. Thanks, Mom. She did raise me good. She raised me good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have one more travel question.
Okay.
And then I do want to talk about Twitch since you brought it up.
Okay.
I think that a lot of cosplayers struggle when it comes to traveling mm-hmm. And also trying to plan content at the same time because of the weight limits on your suitcases.
Oh my God, yeah.
And trying to fit cosplays into...
Why is cosplay shoes and cosplay wigs? Like, they're so...
So heavy.
So fucking spacious.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it just takes mm-hmm. up so much volume in your suitcase.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So do you have any tips for people who want to travel and also make cosplay content in these other... places?
Okay. I feel like I cheated a little bit because I'm part of like a Delta. So I have very high Delta tier.
So you got those three free bags
so
with 70 pounds.
I'm not a shell for Delta. I wish they would like give me money because every single time I talk about it, they're like, wow, you get all that. Mm-hmm. But I'm currently a platinum member on Delta, almost diamond. So I currently have like three free check baggages mm-hmm. and they each get 75 pounds, which is an insane number.
Yeah.
I've never hit 75 pounds on my suitcase.
My Amanda is the
also?
Same. And
yeah.
so whenever
it's
we
crazy.
Go to cons that we're going to together, I'm
give
like,
everything to her.
Can you take my bags, please?
Yeah. And then they give you, I have like unlimited lounge access. So I never have to worry about like eating food or spending money at the airport. Mm-hmm. Like I literally have showered at so many airports. I just take my toiletries. There's a shower in the lounge. I just shower, brush my teeth, do my makeup there, and then I eat a meal, and it's like very comfortable. So I have a really hard time answering like things about suitcase limitations because I feel like I am so not limited in terms of suitcases. Mm-hmm. But I think I just try to be realistic. I like for photo shoots, I know I can't shoot a cosplay faster than 2 hours. So if I'm like, if I know I have 3 hours, I'm not gonna bring two cosplays. Mm. So I'm like, okay, that's only time for one cosplay. Mm-hmm. If I have 4 hours, I can bring two cosplays. And then I have my suitcase sorted out. I have like, so my toiletries, I have like double of everything because I find it very cumbersome to like unpack and repack the same toiletries over and over again to use at home versus in traveling. So I literally bought double of everything. So I have all constant suitcase kit.
Ready.
And makeup. Same with makeup. Like I have a travel makeup kit, travel toiletries kit. And mm-hmm. I also have a travel cosplay emergency kit mm-hmm. that's like bobby pins, little rubber bands, super glue, hot glue gun, wig, cap, and whatever, like all those mm-hmm. little things that you always freaking need because you forget something.
Yeah.
So I always have those are always locked into my suitcase. They never leave the suitcase.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everything else, I have like garment bags that I put all my cosplays in. So in each garment bag, it has the wig, the accessories. Sometimes if the shoes fit, I'll just put everything together so nothing gets lost. Because mm-hmm. the last thing I want is for me to show up and I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot the hat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always like put everything in a garment bag, fold that up into the suitcase, and then boom.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question.
You did. Okay. You did. I don't remember my question. How to get everything there. Yeah. You answered my question for sure.
I think another thing I do is I always have a suitcase and a duffel bag. Mm-hmm. In my duffel bag, I put all my shoes.
Oh, because they're so heavy.
Bulky and it doesn't fit in perfect cube form. They're just weird shapes. So mm-hmm. I just put all the shoes in the duffel bag.
Yeah.
And that just goes into the thing. Check that. And then everything that's like squareable goes into the suitcase.
Oh. Yeah. That's very smart.
Is it?
Super smart. Yeah. This is, I mean, it's perfect. If there's like any specific little tips or anything, mm-hmm. I think that it's worth sharing.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like I get into the habit of like doing things. And then I've had so many people come and be like, oh, you should like make a video about that. But I'm like, make a video about what? It just seems like
it seems normal to you, but it's something that other people may not have even thought of before.
It's true.
And even saying like, even your status on Delta, right? Mm-hmm. That you get 3 free checked bags up to 75 pounds. I think a lot of people also don't know that that's even a thing
that's
possible. So
yeah, I've had a lot of people be like, what do you mean?
Yeah. So maybe even the takeaway could be that even if it's a little bit more expensive to fly the same airline every time,
I commit.
It could be worth it in the long run.
Yeah.
Because you're saving all of that money. You have status. You get the
lounge.
You
get free upgrades to first class. I've had the amount of times I got free upgrades to first class. And then if it's a flight over 3 hours, you get a free meal on mm-hmm. the flight. So I feel like it's just – also your luggage comes with the Sky Priority tag. So it's like the first thing off the luggage cart. Mm-hmm. So you get to leave the airport faster. Like your luggage will never be the last one off the plane.
Right.
So it just saves you like time. I think time – is money.
Absolutely.
Anything that will save me time and make my trip more comfortable, because like even on the plane, I have a set of things I always bring on the plane. I always bring a seat cushion. There's this thing called a leg hammock. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I bring a leg hammock. I have this like neck pillow that's specific for overnight flights. And like I just have all these things I always bring on the plane, and that's always in my like go bag. Mm-hmm. So just things that will, anything that will make my life more comfortable, because I'm on these planes like all the time, like too long.
I actually would love for you to make a video about all of this because I think it's so interesting. I think a lot of people want to maximize their airport experience or their flight experience and just don't really understand how or like have the tools or even the money to keep experimenting on things.
True. Like, so, what's the best way? Mm-hmm. What's the best process?
Yeah. That's a good idea. I look forward to your videos.
I will try my best.
So thank you so much for coming and sharing all of your knowledge with us.
I'm so happy
your story.
To be.
I appreciate your
time. You had some very good questions.
Thank you. What is something that you are looking forward to that you could share with everybody listening? And where can everyone find you online?
Okay. Oh my God, my next trip. Uh-huh. My next trip is I literally have flown so many places this year. Just this year. It's so crazy. I'm going to be going to Hong Kong and then Osaka and then Singapore for AFA. I have never been to Singapore. I've never been to AFA, but I heard AFA is like the number one Asia convention. It's like the anime expo of Asia.
Okay.
So I've never been. I'm not going as like in any kind of official capacity. Like my friend is working it. She's like, coming out with me. And I was like, okay. But I've also never been to Hong Kong before. So these are all going to be very new experiences for me. But I'm going to be going next month. So I'm super excited about that. And then right after AFA, I'm going to be in Mexico City guesting at an 18-plus convention in Mexico called EXCON. So nice. it's like rolling right. Yeah, it's going to be like 4 weeks of crazy. But you can follow my adventures on Instagram at JennyBellyCaz.
Yay. Including an upcoming series on travel.
I'll try my best. I want to make it.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
So you love food and pickles and BL.
I do. I love all those things.
If you had to fuck, marry, kill,
oh my God,
those three things.
Okay, food, BL, and pickles.
Yeah.